the artist is poised before the wall with a ladle full of molten petroleum jelly.
You gonna let it rip?
These are good.
The pool of goo is a crowning touch to a show Matthew Barney is installing at the Guggenheim Museum. Rather than the museum exhibiting Barney's work, the work seems to consume the museum. A congealed stream of petroleum jelly clogs the ramp that spirals down the circular exhibition hall. A five-sided video screen looms over the central rotunda. Barney's crew even repainted the elevator doors. The main event, though, is not immediately visible. Screenings of Barney's films, known as the Cremaster Cycle, will take place in the museum's auditorium.
It's a five-part film cycle of epic proportions.
Nancy Spector curated the show.
In its totality, if you have to sum it up in one sentence, would be that it's a creation myth for the 21st century.
Barney considers himself a sculptor, but most people know his work as something totally immaterial, the moving image. His films are nothing like the sort of grainy, ascetic videos one associates with contemporary artists. They're convoluted dramas with original scores, garish costumes, and ornate props, like a banquet table centerpiece in the form of the ovarian tract. Cremaster 2 stars Barney as Gary Gilmore. The Utah killer emerges from a 67 Mustang that's encrusted with beeswax, like a giant hive. Matthew Barney imagined Gilmore's execution taking place on a bull.
To sort of portray Gilmore's execution, we built a rodeo arena out of salt in the salt flats, where we trucked solar salt in from another part of the salt flat that was dry onto a place where there was about 6 inches to a foot of water. It created this sort of reflecting pond effect for miles.
Back in the studio, Barney and his crew set to work hand-carving a landscape out of a 12-foot-long block of salt. Suspended above it is a strange object best described by Matt Ryle, the chief fabricator. Nobody knows the ins and outs of Barney's work better than Ryle.
What you're looking at here is a Hungarian side saddle that's been fiberglassed and then basically like treated as like it was an automotive body, bondoed, smoothed. And then they mirrored tiles are installed on the outside of it. They were silver tiles. We had them punched.
Barney's choice of materials can be perplexing, but there's always a rationale if you can puzzle through a thicket of symbolism. His obsession with Vaseline dates to his days as a football player when he'd lube himself up before a game. Some of the plastics he uses are drawn from the world of medical equipment.
He once told me something quite interesting about that. The materials in Jim Otto's knees, which are completely prosthetic, totally replaced over the course of his career with the Oakland Raiders, provided him with vocabulary for his sculpture.
It's rare that a material would be selected for a purely aesthetic reason. I think that it tends to be selected for narrative reasons, that the properties of the material are a reflection of an aspect of the narrative.
Much of what we see in Barney's films is the result of special effects, just like in a big studio picture. A slapstick scene in Cremaster 3 has a bartender on an upper floor of the Chrysler Building inundated by a sea of beer suds, which were simulated with a foaming detergent. But fake beer foam creates only a momentary impression. In Barney's studio, trickery is replaced by surrealist experimentation using gooey, unstable materials like glucose, tapioca, poured concrete, and petroleum jelly. The wooden bar in the Chrysler Building spawns an eerie twin glowing with a resinous light.
1,200 pounds of jelly on here.
Something like this partitioned horseshoe bar, which I came upon in Dublin. The bar was built of walnut. I was interested in this being one of the places where the sculptural language, or my sculptural language, would start to consume this ready-made.
It's basically a bar that's been built out of, it's a polyethylene understructure. About two-thirds of it is covered with refrigeration line. The chiller brings the temperature down to about 17 degrees and runs it through the bar. Petroleum jelly is applied to the top of that. Jelly won't actually freeze unless you take it into like a liquid nitrogen or something. But this is just enough. It's cool enough to hold the form. I guess the thing Matthew's been always with the jelly is that it's a totally formless material that just seeks its own level, that it lubricates itself. It has none of the characteristics of any other traditional form or material. And to try to make a clean form, to discipline it into a shape.
I'm just trying to get this edge
so it's kind of crisp and even.
Crew member Melissa Lockwood.
Instead of like all like wavy.
How do you get a sharp edge with Vaseline?
Very carefully. Since parts are colder than others, it catches more, and sometimes since it's Vaseline, it stretches out. And so I just slowly have to go over in layers until it's all even.
I mean, you can imagine it. You're handling it, you're trying to handle some tools, and now you have this stuff all over you. You're trying to keep an area clean while you're working with it, and it's just really wants to go everywhere.
Salt and Vaseline may be unique to Matthew Barney as sculptural media, but otherwise they're the most mundane stuff in the house. Even when Barney works in a traditional medium like cast metal, the perversity of the methods seems more Salvador Dali than Richard Serra.
We removed the harp from the piano, plated it first in copper, polished out the copper, plated it again in silver, polished out the silver, restrung it with stainless steel wire, poured cement over the top of the strings. And then plunged a cast silver trowel into the cement.
I guess it is a risk in a way to make art like that now after generations of this really stringent and reductive art, for an artist to emerge and just, you know, make work with filigree and, you know, this kind of fetishistic attention to details and fabrics and inlaid woods and engraved sterling silver. It's really not of our time, but yet it is.
He loves to do something that really just it seems impossible and keep pushing it till it's about to kind of collapse on its own weight. You know, I like to have a material just keep going and as far as it can possibly go and then possibly see where it fails. That's generally where he wants to be.
For Studio 360, I'm David Krasnow.
You can see images of the Matthew Barney exhibition at studio360.org.